have a lot of top businesses who have come to Ghana and have gone back. They came with money, but they couldn't survive. Those of us who go for loan, we probably will crash in a year.
What data are we then going to measure the success or the failure of the business with?
We said that, oh, maybe he's doing just 100,000 Ghana cedis a month. Convert it to dollar is nothing. Why do you have to convert it to dollar in the first place?
When you are bringing investment,
yes,
in dollar,
yes,
into this country,
yes,
you need to measure it by dollar.
I agree.
I started a farm.
Yes.
I've been building it for 5 years.
Yes.
Now my yearly revenue is around 120,000. Fantastic.
Yes.
At which point do I scale up?
You will feel it. You can give yourself that if this business is doing 100,000 a month, maybe I can spread it. But if you're doing 2,000, 3,000, what do you want to spread? Especially when Africans are comparing themselves, to say, oh, Ghana doesn't have any billionaire. Who will look at the infrastructure that produce that or those billionaires. The society does not have that kind of structure. We rely on school, rely on religion, rely on TV. What do you see on our TV? Where is the segment that is developing the minds of the people? What changes a man's life is... For instance, many of our people, when somebody gets money, they say, oh yeah, bro. We're talking okay.
Yes.
Nobody can get a certain level of money until they practice some weird, weird occult.
If you've just tuned in to this podcast, my name is Derek Abaite, and today I'm seated with Mr. Kwabena Obendako. Now, there are a certain level of Africans who believe that, in fact, they refuse to believe that the land we sit on is poor and cannot create riches or cannot help change our mindset. And this is one of the few men. He is championing a lot of mindset revolution within the young people. The request I had to have him on this seat. There's no guest that I've had that has got that many requests, to be honest. And I appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule or the seminars you're doing to come here today. I want to start off with a statistic, which is that worldwide, 20% of startups fail.
Mm.
Within the first 2 years. Now, by the time we get to the 5-year mark, 49% of them have failed. However, in Ghana, 74.9% of businesses created within the first 2 to 5 years will fail. What do you think is the cause of that?
Derek, nice meeting you.
Yeah.
And you have a very, very, very sharp and nice setup.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And the hall I walked through, it's 5-star.
Thank you.
If there is anything about it, we put it there.
Thanks.
I'm happy to be here. And thanks to everyone who said we should be here. Mm. We just somewhere, our corner, trying to do what we think our people should know. Statistics, I don't know which kind of business segment that they did the statistics on. Is it my sister at the market selling tomato? Or my friend who is a cocoa farmer, or the mobile money vendor. I don't know which part of the segment they use to say that 70% of our businesses don't survive. Maybe they use the top, the ones that look like their setup, which is the one with the secretary, accountant, project manager, who must rely on a bank to support him, and who they may, evaluate the business to say that the business is this, and it's doing this kind of revenue. I think that many of our businesses are not in that kind of category. As a matter of fact, our setup as a country, if you look at the things that you go through to register a business, the regulators themselves, the things that they use to judge us, I think that they are not so much streamlined. So, you can have a business and somebody will come with a chain to say that you have not paid something and they lock it. I don't know which part of the world that they do that. So really, the things that have to be set up for that, maybe I wouldn't even put it at the top, that segment of business that replicates the lifestyle or that look like the Western one that they can categorize, I think that the infractions are too many. So if it's 70%, maybe, or 75%, maybe. And it's because we have not set up. We are trying to compare ourselves with some people. It's like going to the bank to open a bank account and they ask you, what is your postcode? The postcode in Bantama.
It's non-existent.
You don't use that. Mm. You use a different... What you want is identification. So use something different to find them and you'll find them. You know, so I think that is the parameters that they're using. And if they use those parameters, then they must as well work as the people that they're trying to measure the same thing with. What is the interest rate in England or in America or in Canada or in some of these countries? The interest rate, how much is it? Mm. It's so low compared to the one that 10% a month here. Look, go to the microfinance companies. How much do they charge our people every month? 5%, 10%. So the whole year, how much is it? Who can work with this and when?
Mm.
So if they say that is the model that they're using, but I think that if you go to a lot of the businesses that we run that are doing more than 100,000 a year, many of them survive. Young, we have good statistics or better statistics than what they are trying to project.
Well, Mr. Darko basically debunked that statistics. But let's look at this. When we talk about a business,
yes,
would you classify the tabletop businesses that some of the Makola ladies, yes, or the men are doing?
Yes.
As a business?
Yes, it's a business. It's a kind of business.
Okay.
That person, for instance, there's a lady I know, her mother is a chopper owner. She used that business, did it for over 30 years, and she built houses out of that. Would you say that that is not a business because she works with some two or three people, or maybe 10 people? She may not have an accountant. She may not have all those kind of setup. But really, if you put the other people that we say is business, all that I know many times is that they come up with the idea, they try the idea one or two few times, and then they tell them you have a source of funding. And if somebody is giving you money, then they will ask how the money should be protected. And I think that's why many of them came up with that kind of structure. Why you need a lawyer, accountant, because somebody is really trying to inject money to that kind of entity, and you have to be accountable. Now, if I start something I'm selling... tomato, you have not given me any money. So if I trade and I get profit, I think that is business. You see, the thing is, so long as we try to use their definition for the same thing, we will collide.
Well, but then what data are we then going to measure the success or the failure of the business with? Because if you're running a business, yes, and then you don't have any metrics to use, yes, for example,
yes,
you don't know at which point did you even break even, and yes, when did you cross that border, yes, to even profit.
So long as you give me money, mm-hmm, we can talk the same language. So long as you give me money, the tax laws are okay, your interest rate is okay, then come with that model, then measure me. But if you have not given me any money and you still want to put that jacket on me, I don't know if it fits.
Mm.
Because you know it. The people you met who set up businesses, what did they use?
Loans.
That's it.
Yeah.
We here, how many of us have access to that? As a matter of fact, those of us who go for loan, we probably will crash in a year.
No, that's true.
All right, so how do you judge us? We have a lot of these top businesses who have come to Ghana and have gone back. They came with money, but they couldn't survive here. Yeah. Many of them, and I'm sure you know them, they came with millions of dollars. Why? But they were measuring all those. Now, Antioquia is still going, in spite of us saying that the economy is so, you know, stressed. But they are still in the market selling and making some money. So business, I would say, is a form of business. As to which kind of business, I will not try to defend that or define that.
But you also understand and appreciate that at a certain level, with any business that you're running, you need data to help make a decision.
Agree.
Now, I, this is what I want to gather.
Yes.
Are you saying that a tabletop business owner,
yes,
who has started that business,
yes,
with their own money,
yes,
do not need to keep data on how the business is moving?
They have to. Uh-huh. They have to keep data.
Okay.
But don't measure them with the other data and their trajectory. Don't measure them with that. I find it difficult. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I find it difficult. Because if the same woman who is doing so well, bring an MBA to that woman to manage her, 2 years will come back, that woman's business is no more. With data, with this, with this, with this, with it. Before you see it, well, her money is gone. Why? Because she's spending money that she has to make herself. That the other person. We have a lot of friends who, you know, you can get the data you are asking for from, you know, when they started. Very, very organized, you know. You'll be very happy to talk to them. And I understand that. But there are no more. Many of them fizzle out. Why? Because they were trying to work with the same definition, rich definitions.
And so, I'll give you an example.
Yes.
So when I first came to Ghana, I set up our pharmacy. Mm-hmm. The first pharmacy we had in Ghana was in East Legon, right?
Yes.
We spent over £30,000 doing everything, putting everything, everything together. But we had an accountant, in fact, a bookkeeper that was working with us from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Based on the data we collected,
yes,
we realized that 2 years into the business, it was not, we would not be able to survive. So we should close down.
Okay.
That saved us a lot of time
to
be wasted.
Yes. My kind of understanding of business is I will not come with money like you.
Okay.
I will start selling the drugs maybe from Trotro or on my head. And then I go through in Ghana. I'm talking of in Ghana. Not you coming with money. And I go through that. Before that person opens a pharmacy, it's taking her maybe 2, 3, 5 years. And the Lord, she understands every decision is counted for. So for instance, there's Mr. Blay, who owns a provision shop. He's my friend, an old man. He and the wife have been doing this for almost maybe 40 years. Out of that one provision shop, he's built apartments out of it. The story is, how did they start? They started by selling on the head. And then they went to a small kiosk, tabletop kiosk. And they went into a container. And the other time, they broke the whole container down and built their own store. They are not like you. You came with money.
Mm.
They didn't come with that. So it was gradual. So positioning that business will be exact because she gathered a lot of information before she got to that level, or he got to that level. You came with the moment you come with money, your models are different. And for me, my focus, my definition, my why I do what I do is so that 80-90% of our people, you know, the data that they work with, the information that they work with, the realities that they go through in trying to build a business here, the things that they have to do that are very much accessible to them. That approach is what I look at. And many of them will not have £30,000 to come with in the first place. For them to set it in a place and it doesn't work and they have to close it. They don't go through that. Why? Because they went through the steps. Organic growth is what many of our people can have access to build a business with. So you, your kind, we can have that kind of a conversation at a different level. But I don't understand that one. What I understand is what the friend or the young man without a father, mother in the village, what does he have to go through to build a business? And I don't know if what he builds will even be qualified by the others to say that this is a business. You know, but for me, it's a business. Why? Because he's been able to lift himself from where he is with nothing. And now he has employed 3, 4, 5 people. You say that, maybe he's doing just 100,000 Ghana cedis a month. Convert it to dollar is nothing. Why do you have to convert it to dollar in the first place? Because if you give me free money and I'm doing $100 million a month or a year, and I have to bootstrap for 10 years and I do 100,000 a month, do you really think that you're better than me?
No.
That's it. No. So my concern, what I've studied, what I've understood, is that the other people without all these tools and instruments, what do they have to go through to build? And so the nomenclature is key. What would you call a business and how do you define it so that you don't break or put them down is key. Because many times when we judge ourselves, we just say that, when you compare it with this kind of country, we are nothing. And many of our people are doing that. They're doing so well, but at the same time, when they convert it to dollar or pound, it's nothing. But I'll tell them that the pound, the dollar man was sourced.
Well, I guess it's true, right? But if you're coming from the CD system or whatever currency it is that you're coming from,
yes, sir,
and that's all you know, it makes sense to not try to compare to any other currency because that's all you know, right?
That's what
I know. You measure it by those metrics. But when you are bringing investment in dollar into this country, you need to measure it by a dollar.
I agree. But maybe I don't have access to that one. Yes. And many of the people that we have to lift up will not even get any investor from any dollar anyway.
Mm.
And that's the reality on our market, though. And as a matter of fact, our market or our economy is controlled by those people. No investor from anywhere. So I understand. We can study that for the few who would love your approach. The other day, a young man called me and said that I have started a laundry and I need an investor. I said, how much are you doing? 3,000 cedis a month. And he's looking for somebody to give me a lot of money so that he can open a lot of doors. I said, I don't know that one. What I know is that if anybody wants to give you $100,000 or $1 million, this your figure you're doing, I don't know how many people will bet on you. So prove yourself and remove those things that you have watched on the internet. You know, Shark Tank and those, remove them because you may not have access to those. But you can build with a lot of discipline. 3,000, you can go to 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. Maybe it'll take you another 10 years to even open another branch. But you'll build the strength that when you cross a certain threshold, you'll be able to, you know, spread. And that's the magic in our economy. Left-handed is so high because of the instruments that we use. But once it's taken a height, you can go. And that's why Mr. Blair was able to, you know, he went through that, you know, that force for so long a time. And then when he took the height, he was able to spread and build his wealth. That is our approach. So I appreciate that. But the thing is, let's say, many of them don't even have a visa.
Mm.
So how do you give that person that kind of setting if you want? I wouldn't. But then when we come to that level, we can discuss that. So I always separate it. Which category are you talking of? You know, but my focus is more on the category where 80% of our people can build with the little that they have, with the things that they have. Where in this world that you're registering a business and you're taking something before you even register, you have not made any profit. So we should understand what we are dealing with.
Okay. I've started everything myself.
Yes.
I've heard your words.
Yes.
I think it's amazing. So I started a farm.
Yes.
I've been building it for 5 years.
Yes.
Now my yearly revenue is around 120,000. Fantastic.
Yes.
At which point do I scale up?
So long as you feel it. Okay, for instance, our business, when we started, we focused on one. It was working, and then we spread it to two. What did we see? We saw our ability to not be there. And the other person or the person we employ being able to take care of the business. I think that is one. So long as you are worried that somebody takes care of it and they will steal it, they will squander your money, then don't spread. And I think the other thing is maybe using revenue measures. You can give yourself that if this business is doing 100,000 a month, maybe I can spread it. But if you're doing 2,000, 3,000, what do you want to spread? You grow it to a certain level. So your ability to increase revenue and the other one is your ability to make sure that you can let other people handle it. Without you worrying and the figures not going down. So how do you test that? You test it, you know, you can have somebody work with you. You study their character. If they are so well, sometimes you leave the place for them to run to see, 1, 2, 3 days. If it's still okay, then you can say that, okay, I want you to go and handle this and let's see. If they go and they fail, you close it. You come back and work again until it works. So your ability to grow somebody, develop somebody to work as you or sometimes even better than you. Is that the point that you can spread or you can grow?
You mentioned something in one of your interviews that you think everybody can be entrepreneur.
Yes.
Now, this same person you've employed and entrusted one shop with.
Yes.
And they are hearing your words.
Yes.
You've trusted them, opened the shop.
Yes.
But now they've done so well with your words that yes. Now they have a business they want to move into.
Then yes.
How do you manage you as a business person, mm-hmm. the dynamics of trying to retain the person, mm-hmm. trying to keep the business going, yeah. and then also trying to empower them to move on.
The truck driver does not worry about so much who gets on board and who steps down. Your ability to pick a talent and develop them and not hold on so much to them is the key. If they come to a point where they want to go and start something, let them go. But you also can pick talent because how many people? There are so many. When you are on the street, you see there is work for everybody, even those with broom sweeping.
Mm.
When they stop, somebody has word. Will always come. Your ability to pick that person, groom them, develop them. And you're also not grooming just one person at a time. You're grooming money. And so their going is not really a challenge for me. Even though it can hit you so much, but because you're not depending on one person. We have a structure. We are in our businesses, they go. But we still run them anyway. Because somebody will always come.
Mm.
And they work with you for a period. It's just like a school. You know, you go to university, whatever be the case, you can move on. But the school is designed so that they absorb new people all the time. So I will go for that kind of model. So you're not so much holding on to somebody being with you for forever. They can die. They can get accident. They can get sick. How about that one? They're human. They can disappoint you. So your bet is on your ability to build that kind of structure where people can come in, develop themselves, work with you within that period that they are good. And if they move on, another person can easily take over. You know?
When I started looking into you, right, I was looking for a business that you represent.
Mm.
I read real estate and retail.
Mm.
And then the fact that you're an engineer. Mm. I was looking for the business.
Mm.
And it was only when we started having conversations downstairs that I was like, oh, yes, no, that this is exactly what he does.
Yes.
Because we get a lot of people who are intellectually brilliant.
Yes.
But you have actually gone through the mill.
Yes.
You actually have businesses that you are running.
Yes.
So take me through that.
Yes.
You know, your main business that you run.
Yes. Actually, what we are doing is an intellectual exercise than putting our business out. Mm. So we don't really so much push.
Right.
The businesses that we have built
out
there so much. Because what I'm doing is working on the mindset of our people than just sharing my experience or my lessons. Because a lot of our people are so much interested in the story than the principles. I believe in the principles. Once people get the principles, they can build with it without even you just sharing your story. And so that's why I teach the principles.
Mm.
But we have used those principles to build.
Right.
And so we have built retail shops, multiple of them. We have run them over 14 years with my wife in the malls. You see them. We make products, actually. We handle a lot of workers.
Wow.
We have construction company. We have done all kind of engineering works. Yeah. And we have our own development. But I don't put them there because that is not the focus. My focus is how does that story inspire? It's just like me hearing world billionaires. Mm. I really get sad when I see that.
Okay.
Yeah, I really get sad, especially when Africans are comparing themselves to say, oh, Ghana doesn't have any billionaire. Go and look at the infrastructure that produce that or those billionaires. Then you see that once you don't have those things set, you cannot get those results. So the same, once we have the principles taught out that when you come to Ghana, for instance, or when you're a young man and you're here, the education that they have given you will make you not to believe in yourself as an African. So you've virtually been given a colonial education that exhausts everybody and puts you down. So it doesn't matter whether you have a degree or master's or PhD. Many of our people, when you talk to them for 10 minutes, you know that it's still the colonial syndrome is still working. They praise everybody and then they come straight to Ghana. Ghana is poor. Ghana is a Ghanaian. You can't trust Ghanaians. We are backward. We are not developing. Yet everybody comes here and they see the wealth that we have. Why? Because they didn't have to go through that colonial setting that many of us have been subjected to.
Do you disagree that a lot of the people are bad? You disagree?
I think that is the training. I don't think people are bad. I don't think so. Because people have come to our programs. Now we have a network of boys, people that they have never met, that people have sent money to buy land for them, do their farming, do their project, and they have never met them. A gentleman shared a story with me. He came to one of our seminars in Kumasi. And this young man came to talk. And so he picked his number. The guy is in Techimai. The man is in, big man, is in Accra, hotel owner. He said that, listen, I picked your number from Obin when I came to the seminar. And I want you to order these things for me. And I will send you money. The man sent the young man 300,000 Ghana cedis. He put it in his account, and the boy was able to deliver the goods. Why? Because the boy has heard something different. What changes a man's life is the knowledge that you expose them to, the training. Our people are not bad. It's the system, it's the training that we have refused to push us through. And they will fail. Even when you are training them, they will fail. But you just have to understand that you can't just give up on everybody because you think we are naturally bad. And that, for me, is an error. We have refused to look at the things that are making our people behave the way they behave. I think that you can correct a lot of them with training.
We can correct.
Yes.
So before we can correct, then we must recognize the problem.
Yes.
So we recognize that.
Yes, there's a challenge. Problem. Yes.
Right. Okay. That's what I wanted to establish, because I think I've said this over 10 podcasts. I put bins outside to allow people to drop their bins on the street.
Yes.
Instead of putting on the street, they should put in the bin. It's been stolen twice.
Yes. Yes. What does that mean?
What it means that the people are not ready for the change I'm trying to bring.
But there are thieves everywhere.
Yes.
Yes. So somebody will steal. The change, before you put something there, of course, this one is beyond you.
Mm.
But at least when I bring it, the society must have a structure to train our people. Listen, the society does not have that kind of structure now. We rely on school, rely on religion, rely on TV. What do you see on our TV? The things that will develop people, because human beings must be developed. I don't subscribe to the thinking that, oh, every human being can just... I think I reflect the training that I've been through. The things that I speak, the things that I do, you can't take my training out of it. The family that I came from, the education, the things that I've read, the things that I subject myself to, they reflect. A man reflects his training more than his talent. You reflect your training more than your talent. And the training is what makes the difference. If your training meets your talent, you're sporadic, you know. You can spread quickly. But if you don't have the talent and you have training, you go further than the person with talent without training. Because then you give up. You do things without character. But training will subject you to character. You know, so I think that people, you don't just say, for instance, where is the government structure? You see us even constructing a road. Really, do you really think that the institution cares about the people that they are constructing the road for? No. They can create a gutter and it to be there for 10 months and nobody will ask anything. Whether the people can go to their houses, whether the shop can even open, they don't. Why? Because nobody taught them to think of their people. They think of only their status. So I think we reflect the training. Reflect the training, largely.
Is that the training from home or the training from the top down?
I think you can't just identify one thing. Okay. I think the training is coming from the home, it's coming from the religion, coming from the government itself, what we show on our TV. What do you think gets us our attention? Sports, entertainments, you know, political discussion. Look at our radio. That's about 90% of the time. Where is the segment that is developing the minds of the people? No. I think all nations, all people have gone through that, where they came to a point to say that for us to get this resource, we must push our people through this. They must think differently for us to expect the same kind of resource. If a man is thinking in this way, that when you see, for instance, many of our people, when somebody gets money, they say, oh, yeah, Drew. What on cocaine?
Yes.
Even money, people think that money is something, you know, you hear it from prominent people saying that nobody can get a certain level of money until they practice some weird, weird occult. For me, if you can build a factory and employ 100 people, you won't be poor. If you can have a farm and employ a 100-acre farm, you can be poor. So it's just a matter of what activity is the person doing that is producing the prosperity. But many of our people will never think like that. You have prominent people with microphone, academic, religious leaders, telling the young minds that there's a certain amount of money that you have to have some spiritual force. So if they tell you this, would you work hard anymore? No, because you think that it's no more in your control, but it's somewhere in the sky. That, for me, is a thinking that you challenge. Because so long as majority of the people think like that, then you cannot develop. Because then the development is not in your control. And that's a thinking that we attack. And once you attack that, and the person comes to say that, oh, it means that I can organize my own finances. So if I have 100,000 and I manage it well, it can become 200,000. Then say that, oh, somebody has had 2 million because there's a spiritual force somewhere. And I think that is why we are operating at the level that we are. You cannot move any civilization anywhere without attacking the knowledge. Knowledge is the seed for change. You cannot bring change without you improving the knowledge that the people have. Particularly the knowledge of ourselves. How we can talk well of ourselves. How we can see that we must go for dignity for our people. We must study our history beyond slavery and colonization. But many of our people are stuck on 1957 and 40-something European, Portuguese kind of. I think that is a history that makes a weak people. Really. So for me, when I started to study beyond that kind of history, I corrected my sense of being, my sense of identity as an African. And so I could see myself as any other group. Many of our people don't see that. Many of our people will tell you that the African is cursed. You have heard it several times. The African is poor. God is left them. You can't do much with the African. They have not done anything. And I think that so long as people think like that, there are a lot of... There's this gentleman who showed some of our video to somebody in England. He said that after the person had watched the video, he said that now I see myself as a human being. Many of Africans, many Africans with the hegemony of the Europeans, we don't see ourselves at the same level as others. Until you study beyond what is available, then you can correct. That's why a young man who went to do first degree in Ghana, second degree in England, says that he doesn't want to come to Ghana. Mm. And yet what he's doing in England or what he's doing in Germany is nothing. There's no dignity. He can't do anything. There's no future for him. But he's so scared of him coming back to his country. Why? It's an identity challenge. Because he doesn't have any knowledge to believe in himself, not to be at the lower level of life. So you can't lift the people if you have not attached how they see themselves. They see themselves as not capable, and they will not be able to do anything. And really, if you look around, that's it. That's it. A lot of the things that are being thrown at us make us not to see ourselves as a people who are competent and who are blessed.
But how do we champion our lives?
How do we do that? It's in books. I went through that. I studied. I watched videos. I read books. I listened to people who have gone through that to see themselves as full human beings. If I'm going to school, I went to normal government school. Before I went to nursery, I was speaking P. You go to school, they say, what is your name? Do you know how that thing creates? Because the Chinese man is not going through that. The Englishman does not change his language before he's going to school. Your name. If my name is Kwabena Obendaku, you go there, they'll give you another name because you have gone to school. Now you can dress anything. Anybody that you see with suit and tie speaking English has gone to school, isn't it?
Mm.
So there's a conflict of identity from what you have and what you become because of the training that they give you. So you lose yourself, all of us. So we can't connect with our reality where the many of our people live. And so there's that conflict. The Chinese man is not thinking of his name change, his language, even his religion is still intact. But can you see how many of our people worship a Canadian and they will accept them? No. Why? Because that is devilish. That's evil. So almost everything, we have demonized them. And the people who have demonized everything, every heritage, everything that they have, how do you expect them to build anything and be proud of it? So there's a challenge at which we have to work on. So I had to go through that and corrected that by learning beyond all the things that they told us. Somebody had to engineer that to conquer you.
Mm.
If you want to conquer any people, just engineer that to see themselves as nothing. And you have come to help them. Once you do that, they can give you everything that they have. That's why you can sign your gold to multinational people because you think they have money. And they come and they use your homeboys to take that and take everything out. And you still go there to beg them for money because of how you see yourself. You know, so I think that one of the best work that we have to do as a people is to just pick what we have and explore it, learn it, so that we can teach our people. Up until us doing that, or until we do that, many of our people will fall through. And we can't lift many from poverty and inferiority. We can't. So we bring the information down to the level of our people so that they can see themselves differently. And constantly, every day, there is something that is teaching our people how to be poor.
Hmm.
Every day, watch TV, listen to the news. Every day, somebody is trying to... What they're teaching them, they are not coming directly. But if you sit back and you understand things, you know that this one is going to produce poor people. You know, and so everywhere. And so the few of us who are able to jump out will then deny the worth in that and in where we come from. You know, or when we go there, then we have to make them a different people. So bring somebody's standard to say that this is how you have to behave. And that's why we can't connect with that. So even if you look at a political structure, you want to govern yourself, why should it be democracy? Why should it be? You want to just govern yourself. English people have the way they govern themselves. The left, let them go. We also sit down and come up with a structure that works for your development. Economic system is the same. Why should it be the prototype of America? Why should it follow that? It shouldn't. You know, but we are trying to say that somebody has been ordained by God to have a template that all of us must follow. Why should I go to school and study this pattern? When we were in Opokwari school, they were teaching us pattern. And things that you teach them, people cannot relate with. So that's why the person finished university and they can't do anything. But you still think that you have educated them. If they were really given education, they will stand up. So the best form of education is when the people become confident to change their own destiny, wherever that they are. Until they do that, you have given them something which looks like education, but which is not. So you look all through. Our people are looking for somebody to hold their hands. So that we can live. And that we have to challenge.
Authority needs people to remain where they are so that they can exert their authority.
That's right.
So you keep the people blind.
Yes.
And once you keep them blind, they can't question you.
No, they can't question you. Because they don't have what it takes. They don't see themselves as a full human being with dignity. And somebody left that structure. And it's not only in Ghana. All over where people who look like us are. The data that we have is wrong. The data we have, go to African-American community is the same. Go to Jamaica is the same. Go to Nigeria, go to South Africa. The data that they gave to the Africans is wrong. You can build with it. And they think that when you go to university, you can build something with it. That's a lie. It's more something that will build confidence in the people is what you need first. And how can you build a people when you are teaching them in a language that they can't even relate with?
Well, then do you think that our parents have done a disservice to their children? Because a lot of children who grew up in those days, you can't even stand up to your parents. You can't even ask questions. You can't be yourself around your parents.
Yeah, and which is not be. It should not be. You should be able to ask questions. You know, but for me, the main thing is that me me go school. Let's say Asokwa. Me my main table of food. So why should you be using English to teach me? We should go to the granular level if you want of how people think, and then we can lift them. And that's why many of the boys who follow what we teach, I've gone back. So many of them have gone back to the village, and now they are farming. They said, "Boss, I didn't think that it was that easy." A boy, a young man called from in Swatre, in the Bono region, said that, listen, I was following you. I wanted to go to Libya. Wow. And I chanced one of your videos. Wow. Said that we can do something. Say, I came here.
Wow.
I just injected 2,000. The man didn't even take any money. And within some few months, he harvested 20,000 cassava. Boss, now we have confidence. The road is clear. That message I get them every day. Now there's clarity. There's clarity. I can plan my life. I can structure my life. I can do anything that is close to me. Somebody will just tell you that I've been able to buy 3 aboboya, 4 aboboya, 20. And I make a lot of money. Mobile money. So many examples. Why? We are not trying to say, take the example of all these multinationals. Because that's not what we have. So bring our understanding to what we have and be confident with it and build with it.
From that level, yeah.
Yes, and you can do so much. And I think that even multinationals that have come to Africa that have succeeded are the ones focused on the majority, except those who are extracting the minerals. That's why those who come and focus on just the 2-3% fizzle out and go. And so our word is still intact. We just have to know that this is what we have to work with. And so anybody who works like that will succeed in our country. And it's exponential, I can tell you. If you bring it down to the majority of the people, where they are, what they understand, speak the language, don't let it be so much expensive and classy. Of course, if your market is outside that, then feed that market. But if you want to feed us and be profitable, pay attention.
I spoke to this man. In fact, I went to see his poultry.
Mm-hmm.
He has 7,000 birds. Mm. And he says that every week, his net profit is 25,000. Right. Every week,
yes.
7,000 birds.
Yes.
And it's right behind his house.
Wow.
So he goes there and have a look at it. Every morning he has a walk and he's looking at the birds. And I'm like...
Every week?
Every week.
Can you do that in America?
Mm-mm.
Can you do that in England?
Mm-mm.
Even in China?
Mm.
How many Ghanaians in China can do that? Our blessings are enormous.
Should we all come back?
If you can, go for freedom. Go for dignity. You shouldn't live your life being miserable every day and feeling hemming. You shouldn't. You should always go for dignity. And freedom should be your goal. You must have freedom. You cannot express your destiny and purpose in life if you're not free. So any environment that you live, that you feel like, I know, a lot of trains are on my hand. Debt. Racism, all those, you can never express your greatness. You know, and that's why for me, majority of our people should just look here and be free. You must value freedom beyond just working for salary.
What's true freedom?
Freedom is where you can express your destiny. Look at a plant where you have put bucket on it.
Mm.
It's not free. It cannot express its greatness. So freedom is you being saying that I have control over my time. You don't have to go to work to eat. That's freedom. Changing lives, inspiring others. Living a life that when you are no more, people can swear. To say that without you, I'll be nothing.
Hmm.
That's freedom.
You spent your life building your business and the whole family empire that you have. But a few years ago, you decided, nah, let's change the minds of these people. What happened? What happened there?
I think it's just part of us that if you learn something genuinely, you can't keep it.
But what sparked you to say, no, I want to do this?
Because I've been a reader. I've been somebody who has learned almost all the time. So it's just natural. It comes natural. Whoever, if anybody knew me, they will know that once you learn, you want to share. As a matter of fact, once you learn, you can keep it. If you want to keep it, there is a question mark. You can fire will attract something. So you see that this one can change his life just by listening to something small. And as a matter of fact, greatness is in the ability to listen and learn. And so if anybody has that kind of ability, they can easily go. You know, so once you share and they pick it, I can tell you so many young men and women who are doing not 10,000 so, and a lot of them don't even have any certificate. Why? Because they are looking for something to work with. They're looking for something to work with. There's a young man. He says that, boss, now I can go somewhere and bring things with $100,000.
Wow.
But before that, I was wasting that money. Why? Because the financial information was not there. Your ability to, you know, many of us, what did we learn about money? Where did we learn it? Is it from a home? If your parents are poor, it's likely that you don't have any financial sense.
No, that's true.
So you're going to follow the same pattern. So many of us don't know what to do with any money that we have. And yet financial information is so critical to lift anybody from poverty or to build any business. You need proper financial information. And so the person makes 100,000 every month and is partying with it, buying cars with it.
Excitement.
That's right. The same person, you tell him, listen, you can build greater things with this money if you pay attention. And now he has a structure. He has a budget. He has, if he's going to borrow money, he looks at the interest. You know? And just few months, few years, that person, one of them showed me the buildings that he has put up. You'd be shocked. Why? Because of the information that we work with. So I think that critical information is key for people to organize their finances.
We must study money.
Yes.
And how it works.
Yes. We must. And it must be taught. That's why the top globally, everybody that you see has money. They know something about money that the others don't know. That's why they have money.
The difference between the person that has and the person that doesn't, hasn't.
Yes.
It's a thin line. Yes, it's just the knowledge they have.
That's it. The knowledge. Because if I have money, 100 million, let's say a million cedis, if I don't know anything about money, I'll just spend it.
You lose it, yeah.
That's right. But if the person knows something about money, they'll just go and plant it something that they understand and they control. So for instance, in our country, if I have money and I want to invest the money, I must put it in something that I have proper understanding. I must understand it. So what do you understand? What do you know? Many of us, we come from homes that our parents were traders, farmers. And we have 100,000, we want to put it somewhere, treasure bills. How are you going to be rich? You'll never be rich. The whole year, how much would they give you? But you can get a 2 acre, 3 acre, 4 acre land and build wealth easily because you grew up with it, you understand it. Your parents were traders. You can easily pick that. Somebody told me that the mother was selling pito. So he had this information. He said, Mama, can we go and bring the materials that they used to buy pito? Because it always goes up. Store them and then sell them. We can easily multiply our money. So everybody, there's something around us that we can easily, in Africa, we can easily multiply money if you are taught well. You know, but many of our people, they get the first 100,000. What did they use it for? Buy a car. Your first 100,000, what did you use it for? It decides or it shows where you are financially now.
What should we be using that money for?
It should multiply.
Okay.
Put it in what you understand that can multiply that money. That's all. So you build a business, you have a farm, you talk about poultry, the same. Is it going to be easy? Never.
I've made my first 100,000.
Yes.
I want to build a house.
Yes.
Is it a foolish idea?
You don't want to be wealthy. If you want to own a house, that's fine. I mean, own a house. But we are talking of people who can talk of 100 million, 10 million. That one, that first, you can't spoil it like that. It's just like a farmer who eats the seeds. Of eating it, the money should give birth. That's why that farmer with one bag of maize who planted it came with 100 bags of maize. And if he plants half of it, he will never lack. The other one who just chopped everything. So we are talking of difference. We are talking of the wealth mindset. And the other one with a house and a car bluffing around until he catches some sickness. You see that a house cannot pay for the sickness. You have to sell it. So you must always put your money in something that is bringing money, producing money. And that's the difference between those who have and those who don't have. Those who have are always planting so that they can harvest. Seed time harvest, that's the world. See, so, you plant, you reap.
So this could be the reason why, you know, sometimes back in our villages, you see this man who had so much money. And
yes.
Maybe about 20 years before he passes, his life becomes very, very miserable.
Mm-hmm. Because he didn't plant anything. You must have assets that are producing money all the time. And that's what we did. When our business started to make some profit, we put them in things that will bring money. We conserve it. So we were not buying nice cars with it, no. And we did that. And I think we should do that at least for 10, 20 years.
Diversify.
Yes. Put in things that bring money. Hold a car. Hold a nice house. Put in something. And so when even the business is no more, you still have money. Hmm. So you never lack. You never be poor. And you can help so many people. And this is a basic premise. But people are in haste to squander their money and to look rich. You know, the other thing that will make you rich is that you don't care so much what people think of you. Oh, master, now we can't away. Doesn't mean anything. Don't have car. Does it change anything? But I have something that is giving me 10,000 every month, 100,000 every month. And I even think that in our country, if you don't have something that is giving you 10,000, you have to work on it outside your salary. Don't expect your salary to make you rich. It means that you're really, really lousy in thinking. How can your salary make you rich? They can fire you tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, but your investment will not fire you. The investment, cocoa farm, okra, all those. My grandfather had that. Sheep. He had a truck that was bringing let me tell you this story. He had a Bedford truck. And that Bedford, he stuck past sun on it. And when it was time that he couldn't work anymore, he was selling that sun.
Wow.
That's somebody who didn't go to school. He had cocoa farm. He had a goat. He had a lot of things. Poultry. He didn't go to school. You don't need to go to school to have financial intelligence. Because financial intelligence is not in school. No. And financial intelligence is what creates wealth.
This is how do we acquire the financial intelligence?
Look like my grandfather. Listen to Derek.
Mm.
When he brings people who are talking about this, learn. Educate yourself. Because this school that was chemistry, I did engineering. You want to become wealthy by studying engineering in Common Core University? You are not thinking right. That's engineering.
You're not thinking right.
No, you're not thinking right. You can calculate engineering principles and things like that. That's fine. But you cannot be wealthy with that kind of information.
Yeah.
You now have to translate that information into something that works to bring you economic returns.
One of my mentors told me, he says, wisdom is from the mouth to the ears.
That's right.
So when they are speaking, listen.
That's right. It's true. Mm. And all those who want to do well, that's it. That's it. And many of our people can. You see, God bless Africa so much that no matter what people have tried to take away, it's still here. In everything. In everything. You move everywhere. You just have to have the right conditioning. You can build so much. I met a gentleman, he said that I spent 18 years in England. But the 5 years that I came to spend in Ghana has made me far more successful than the 18 years I spent in England. And it's true.
Yeah.
All that you need is to have that African consciousness that no matter what, I won't give up on my people. I will stay to make sure that it works. That is the consciousness you need. So long as you're able to... So if you 400 times, you don't care. You don't say that I've tried to come and help them. They didn't listen. I'm going back. We're going back to where? This is your responsibility. This is where you are. So it doesn't matter.
Resilient.
That's it. Toughness. Nobody has ever won anything without that.
You have to be mentally tough.
That's it.
And physically ready to face whatever.
That's it. Mm. And we really don't. Do we really have problem? I don't think so. In terms of you trying to survive here, no. It's the way you interpret what you meet. Somebody will meet goat or cattle in the street. Is Ghana there? But you can see them in the beauty. Where do you find this cattle move around? It depends on how you interpret that. So long as I want to be here. I will find a positive way to look at that. That's not me to put up for debt, no. But don't let that one put you in depression. So that you pack your things and go. It means that it defeated you.
Mm.
But it should rather inspire you. And that's why all those who have done any great thing for Africa, never look back. You say, let me go. Could you believe that Kwame Nkrumah came the first 2 years because of frustration, he would just go? Huh? They put him in jail. He still came back and fight. And you, you just lost your car mirror. Ghana, they'll be up as well. No, you don't have a hired vision. Somebody stole your business, or they came to your house, took everything. Just protect yourself, but don't just give up on a bigger vision, because this is where greatness is. Can tell you that. This is where greatness is.
So we must have an ultimate vision.
Yes.
And a plan for our lives.
Yes.
And work towards
it. Yes, sir.
Because for as long as we keep that in our mind, we don't give up.
No, we don't give up. And make sure your plan is linked to the greatness of our people. Because if you are the one to do something, then you if you don't do it, see it like that. If you don't do it, who else will do it? If you don't stand and fight for the next generation, who else? Are we proud that our people are going through the desert to Libya? It should get us all sad. You shouldn't just be in your Land Cruiser and be happy and move around. Are you happy that our young people finish school and they are thinking of, unless I go to Canada, and we just drive by and say that I don't care, let them go? No, it's because somebody told them that there's blessing in Canada. That's why they are all persuaded to go. We can also switch that.
There's heat in the studio. there's heat in the studio, man. All the people that commented and said that I should have this man on the podcast, yeah? You guys are a blessing. But if you haven't subscribed, please do. If it's your first time ever seeing any of these videos, comment, let me know what you think about this. But there's a lot of heat. I need to break it a bit because there's too much heat. You don't believe that Africans are poor?
No.
Why?
How can you be poor? Tell me all the multinationals that you see globally in every industry, from those who are making airplanes to mining companies to jewelry to construction tools to all these machine tools that they make. Where's the source of material? How can you pick all these things from a continent that is poor and go and build it?
Well, maybe the land is rich, yes. But then the human resources.
No, the human resources are there. Africa has always been rich. The problem is the information that they gave the Africans. It is not that the Africans are poor. It's never true. A teacher just said that, Ms. Obeng, I listen to you. My father was a Nikanika owner. I started to also look at that industry. I started to build one Nikanika. You know Nikanika, Kwame?
Yes.
One Nikanika after the other. And now he has over 10 of them.
Wow.
He's a teacher. He's still teaching. Is Africa poor? I can give you so many examples of such teachers who have now gone to do something. You see, it's a strategy to call a people poor so that you can take everything that they have. That's what they have done. If you're expecting all this world, global. You see, the thing is, the people who colonized and planned Africa and subjugated Africa are the same people who are calling their names differently now. And don't expect them to call you prosperous. Have you ever seen any picture of University of Ghana, young people going to university and doing well and sitting in the classroom, being ambitious, looking at their future on any of these networks? But any little thing, they show it on Africa. Do you expect them to call you rich? No. And the people that they have trained, don't expect them to also call you rich. And they have trained a lot of Africans as well. So their numbers and their statistics are designed to make sure that, and this is not today, it was a war strategy that they used. These Africans, we have to switch them to see themselves as nothing so that we can take everything that they have. And that's what they have done. So when you are telling the people that you are worthy, they fight you. They fight you. They say that you are not being realistic. Have they been ever realistic? So we are not poor. Call them poor. Call them weak. Call them disease. Call them backward. Do that. Can always take from them. Have you ever heard of any, you've gone to school, I don't know whether you schooled in Ghana, but you going to school in Ghana, did you ever hear of any great empire in Africa? For instance, Ghana Empire ran over maybe close to 1,000 years or so.
The Mali Empire, yeah?
Yes. You think that, did he have any intelligence to run for that those number of years? And you had to come and tell them how to wear shoes? It's a program. So anytime that you hear Africa is poor, it's a program. You don't have anything, it's a program. A people who don't have anything. Why are your mining companies here? Who own the mining companies in Ghana? Let's try to... Okay, for instance, Mali was trying to sack everybody. Why were they fighting not to go? Are you not happy to leave a poor person?
That
It's a game. And Africans have accepted it. So the Africans that you see who have not accepted this are doing well.
Yeah.
All that you need is switch what they have called you. That's it.
When a young man starts running their business,
yes,
this is what I usually say. You need to just focus on that business.
Yes.
And run that to realize the dream that you saw for that business. Forget about all the noise, everything else around.
Exactly. I agree with you. Focus on it. Mm. You fall, you get up, you fall, you get up, you are building. You are exercising. A time will come, you can lift the load.
But the problem is,
yes,
the moment they go and taste the worst,
yes,
the good roads,
yes,
the endless supply of water,
yes,
electricity,
yes,
the hospital, security, yes. Mm. Once they taste all those things, we become comfortable.
Yes.
Even though it's stressing us, it's making us weep every night, we become comfortable.
Yeah.
And we find it difficult to come back to the system.
And so you'll be in your 70s,
yes,
and you still be working.
So at the time people choose to come back home is when they are sick. And when they come back, they can't enjoy what they've built here.
That's right. And they have to go. Mm. I think you have to. That's why Africans must study differently from what the West or the people have told us. Why should you study differently? Because really, you win in the mind. Information that you're processing. You win. Look at all these Chinese who are building industries here. You think they can go to America and get a job? Why are they not going? So our people, you must overcome that. And you must stop being happy to say that I have a car and a house. It's nothing to have a car and a house. There's so much greatness in you beyond owning a car and a house. But it's the belief. If you believe that your level is just a car and a house and a nice job, you're not part of the game. But they don't know it.
You're not part of the
game. No. Yeah. So don't let that
excite you.
No. It's nothing. Nothing. After all, even if you take the debt mechanism from it, you can't even own the house anyway. You can buy that car anyway. Many of our people can pull out $100,000 to buy a car themselves. It's finance. How many people can pull out $1 million to buy a house? It's a mechanism to keep you work all your life. So don't let the so-called road keep you in comfort. As a matter of fact, if you take Accra and some part of Kumasi from it, if you go to the villages, do you need the road? You don't need the road. Because the house is just across the corner.
That's true.
You know? So you're looking for water, go to the village. There is a borehole somewhere. You know? So we have, Ghana is not Accra alone. So there is a lot that we have that we don't have to just say bad road and this. It's only in Accra. And maybe Kumasi or the cities. You go to a lot of these other places, there's so much comfort. So much comfort. So let's switch our minds. Let's switch our mind.
I just came out of university.
Yes.
And I've heard you speak.
Mm.
What steps would you advise me to take so that 10 years' time, I'm better off?
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a very good one. I would say that once you're out of the university is a colonial education. So you're going to have conflict with yourself and the reality that you meet. The degree that you had, engineering or whatever, medicine, when you come out, nobody's waiting to clap for you. And if your father is not a minister or any prominent person in society, you're going to fight. You may feel like you've been tricked, but don't feel like that. Now put that message somewhere or that certificate. Don't hide behind that certificate. Put it somewhere. Act as if you didn't go to any university at all. And look at your friends who drop out of the JSS. What they are doing? Go and pick the same thing and do it. Your first option will be, let me get a visa and go. I would say, if you are 25, take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't just think of visa and go. Educate yourself, especially financial education. Because it's likely that they did not put that in you. And look at anywhere. I will not even pursue job. Because you can waste your time pursuing job that you go, you are not even happy. If you want to create wealth, take it upon yourself. People are taking care of waste. There are young boys who have built businesses because they just have company to organize waste. And they are charging people. People have gone into farming. You can go into trading. There are so many products on our market that you may not even have to produce. You say you are waiting for capital. I was hearing this story from one of our boys. He was in school in Acropoly. He started, he came, I don't know, but he was always coming to the seminar. And today I just heard a story. He stopped the school, deferred the course, and he said that he wanted to be a farmer because his parents were farmers. So he would try everywhere, he wouldn't get the land. Then eventually somebody helped him to get the land. And his first, he targeted 8 acres, according to the story. Wow. He didn't get that. He got half an acre, and he focused on planting a tomato. And he said that his first harvest, he paid 8,000. Wow. He was paid 8,000, and he was expecting 10,000. Now, he replanted that money, and he's been able to cover all the 8 acres.
Wow.
So how much do you think he will get?
Oh, no. This guy will be sitting on a lot of
That's
cash.
Right. Yeah. So you can go back to school. He's looking at his condition. He said that, no, let me build something alongside. And so almost everyone, unless you are not daring enough, unless you are not focused enough, unless you are not obsessed enough, but if you're obsessed, you can bar all difficulties. This idea of, somebody has to hold your hand, government has to step in, those things, I really don't subscribe to that.
And neither do I.
If they help you, fine, but I really don't look up to them because you can be so much disappointed. So I will not complete school and be looking for a job. If I have to, if I have to do that, I'll do that to survive. As a matter of fact, that's what we did.
Wow.
Yes. We didn't have the mindset of somebody helping us. I had parents who were somewhere. It's not like, no. The hard house, we didn't live there. We just have to say that we will build it. It doesn't matter. If you don't win, what do you lose? How about if you win? And I've never seen anybody who is that ambitious, go, setting, trying, who will not win. It's just 100% sure that you'll be better than if you didn't set up to do that. So if I finish school, I will set myself the next 10 years, what is my plan? And I will get knowledge for life. Put the certificate somewhere. I'm not looking for a job. I want to build wealth. I want to have influence in our society. And I will be somebody who will be brutally honest in my activities. I'll be truthful. I will not trick people. And I'll constantly study. Learn the history. Learn how to build. Create network. Look for people who are good and connect with them. Friends who want to go somewhere. Not friends who want to get visa.
Mm.
No friends who are looking for somebody to hold their hand. No. Friends who want to build somewhere. And if you're a man or a woman, get somebody at your level who is also ambitious and partner with them. If you have to marry them, perfect. You go faster with that. Resolve that we want to build this together. And keep trying. If you fail, no problem. Keep trying. Don't wait for a capital. Don't wait for loan. Don't look for anybody to come and help you. Or don't be somebody begging. Work with what you have, and whatever little progress that you make, be very much happy. Nobody has become successful without daring. You have to dare. Would you fail? Many times. Would you be disappointed? Many times. And they will actually tell you, laugh at you. That why are you worrying yourself in Ghana? Get a visa and go. We were in the same kind of situation. The other time that my parents came and they saw what we have done, they said, now we understand why you said so. So when you dare, they will doubt you. Your friends, your family, everybody close to you will doubt you. But it's okay. You don't have to let them have confidence in you. Have confidence in yourself and the people that you work with. And keep going until you win. And so I will not look at a visa as an advantage, no. No, especially the life that I'm living now, I will not look at visa as an advantage. Degrees as an advantage, no. It's my ability to stay on the field and keep working. And absolute optimism in my country, in our people. I'll be disappointed so many times. You will even be lured to say that in Ghana people. I mean, it's normal for you to express those sentiments, but I won't believe it. I will still be looking for good people, and there are so many. And there is, at every point, somebody is there to hold your hand and lift you to the next stage. That is natural course, because you are focused. There will always be somebody who inspire you, who support you, who you didn't even know.
Mm.
There is always somebody, because you are keeping the traction. So keep going, and be somebody who is just, you believe in God, no problem, but don't be so much religiously addicted that you don't put your mind to work again. It's not like, God, I'm hearing from God before I do it. No, you wait forever. Go, because know that God is in you, and you have to dare and fight. Faith is put to work. So don't let them trick you with a lot of superstition, prophecies, and religion. You actually stagnate your life. Be somebody who, if you practice Islam or Christianity, read the Bible yourself. You know, and put your mind to work. Your life will change because your mind is working.
Emancipation.
That's right. You will work and you keep going and you'll be proud of yourself. And you'll be proud of yourself. You coming back to Ghana, the same person, if you had chosen to live there, you could have money. But in terms of fulfillment and destiny, it will be different. The impact that you have in Ghana the next 10, 20 years will be, it'll be sporadic because you're in it than living somewhere. And your friends who doubted you, they'll look back and say, how could you do that? Because you express courage.
Mm.
You believe in yourself.
Mm.
You believe that you could do it. And that is a disposition I would have if I just came out of university.
Mr. Robin.
Yes, sir.
Motivation or discipline?
Can I choose both?
You can.
Okay, so I'll motivate myself, but I need discipline. Because if you said I'm going to work the business and meet challenges and not discipline, you quit. You give up. I mean, when we started the first 5 years, some business like the fashion was perfect. But the other ones that I branch in, we cause a lot of chaos and problems. But with discipline, determination, we stay with it. We didn't just quit. You know, we fought on.
Because you're a reader.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't asked this question for a long time, but what's your favorite personal development book?
Wow. Should I say mine?
That's biased, man. If you say yours.
Let me see. I used to read a lot of Western white male's book, but of late, I'm more into African history.
Okay.
So let me see if I can pick
one. So your favorite one?
Yeah, my favorite one. It's a history book, but I'll still say it's the personal development book because I found myself.
Mm.
Yes, I found myself as an African. I would say History of Africa, Molefe Asante. It's a great book. It's a great book. Anything to do with how, because I think the data there, if you don't have the foundation, then it doesn't matter all these other guys that read your books. The African should restore himself and then you can add up to it. It's just like having the substructure proper before you, you know. So I would say that I will go for a history book by African historians, you know.
So if you are, if you're on the audio version, you will not see this, but maybe you should just go on YouTube or we might put it on Spotify video and then have a look at this. I've got in my hand 7 books, right? Yeah, I've got in my hand 7 books. And these books have been written by Mr. Kwabena Obendako. Yeah? This is the first one I've got. Then the second one. Then the third one. Fourth one. Fifth one. Sixth one. And then the seventh one. Now, the seventh one happened to be the financial freedom. The freedom he spoke about. Not the Kwame Nkrumah freedom. This is financial freedom. Something we don't get in schools. Do you think our curriculum should include sections on money?
We must. If we want to change the way our people see ourselves and how we
are. At which level though? Tertiary or lower level?
Once they start to spend money. All true. Even the ones that are playing game, you can put something there. Should. Because you can't free Africans with wrong financial information.
So my children usually work, right? They both have a piggy bank each. And sometimes they go to one of the shops and then they write certain, they do certain things for me and then I pay them. And they're quite young, 6 and 5. And then when people come around and they gift them, it goes straight into the saving box. And what they do at the end of the year is they take everything and then they go and give it to the orphanage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've been doing that for about 2-3 years.
So they don't use it to buy
To buy anything. In fact, sometimes he comes around and he's like, oh, daddy, the baba came today and I told him I was going to give him money. And I said, no, you don't touch that money. That's for the orphanage. So he'd take all that money.
You're plus, disciplined.
Yeah, plus all their toys. Everything goes. And then they start the whole year again.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're teaching them finance.
I'm teaching them finance.
That's it. Because you can't keep poverty with foolishness, right?
Yeah, so there are a few things that we are learning. I think for me, when I was young in the past, right, when, for example, you came around and then you give me one CD, My mom will take that money.
Yes.
And then I'll never get to see that
money. Yeah, what do you have to?
Never get to see that money again. So sometimes I'll go back to the boarding school thinking my mom owes me.
Yes. It's your money.
Yeah, it's my money. Yes. But then you come home and then you ask and like, the food you are eating.
Yes. Is it free?
You know?
Wow.
I've enjoyed this conversation. I think the last bit you know, about coming out of university summed it all up. But I still want to give you a camera over there.
Oh.
Very close to where your missus is.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell the youth something about mindset shift.
Wow. If you're Ghanaian, if you're an African, if you look like me, dark skin, you know, the world is being structured to make sure that you have a lot of battles to do. So read, search for knowledge that will make you to see yourself as a full human being, where you can think well, and steady money, and know that your future really is on the continent. And if we so desire to make sure that our continent changes, then we are the ones to change it. Today you're 40 years, you're 30 years. Tomorrow you'll be 70 years. We cannot continue to say that, oh, they disappointed us, our leaders, because now you see yourself as the leader. And as a matter of fact, if you start anything, if you start a business right away, even if you open a provision shop today, you have become a leader. And so see yourself like that and impact others. And let's build principles that, or let's build our lives on principles that make us live to our full potential, you know, honesty, going for knowledge, being disciplined, taking risk, building the right network, you know, having technical skills as well. Because they set up, if you don't have the technical skills, you can't set it up, you know, and you must have a skill to monetize. What skill do you have that people can pay? Build that. When you complete school, as can tell you, 90% of the information that you have given you, if you can get any income out of it, is just through a job. But that is not a high-paying skill. A high-paying skill is your ability to sell something, build a business, learn how to invest in something. So I will focus my life on that. And I will never feel disappointed if I'm living in Ghana. As a matter of fact, if you live here for the next 20 years, you'll be far greater than those who run away. That one I can show you.
Ooh, that was a big sigh. If you've enjoyed this conversation, leave a comment below. If you didn't, there's another video you can watch. Just go through our page. And please follow this man. I'm going to leave everything in the description. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to discuss one or two things with him later. But I think, look, everything we're doing is to turn the clock around so that it benefits us, right? So if you find yourself chancing on this video, you're very lucky. Take everything in here and let it be of your benefit. Share it to somebody else and let somebody else enjoy it as well. Subscribe and become part of the family. My name is Derek, and I'm out. Stay connected.